He's had a number of amazing artifacts that have come to light, none of them through archaeological digs. There's a lot of things that come to light that weren't dug up by archaeologists. And when this was revealed, the Israeli government said, it's too good to be true, it must be a fake, and they arrested him and put him on trial. The trial lasted for 10 years. This trial went on for 10 years, and in the end, Oded Golan was acquitted of every major charge, just a couple minor ones he was found guilty on. And the judge in the trial said the Israeli government had not proved that this interesting artifact was a fake. It hadn't been proved that it's real either, but it was not a fake, according to the judge. It is a fascinating artifact. When the Israeli police seized it, they accidentally broke it in half. But when they broke it in half, they could see inside the break something called patina. It's an ancient mineral deposit that only occurs over time. This thing has been studied up one side and down the other by scholars, some of whom say the language on it, ancient Hebrew, shows it's a fake. Others who say it shows it is true. It has been examined under electron microscopes to see about the patina. It's been carbon dated tested, which shows that the patina on it is at least 2,300 years old. It even has on it microscopic globules of gold, which those who say it's real say came from when Solomon's temple, which was covered in gold, was burned by the Babylonians in 587 BC. I love archaeology, you know that. And I have followed the debate over this item for 12, 13 years since it came out. I'm no professional, but I think the evidence shows that it is authentic. And if it's authentic, it's really important. Okay, at this point you're going, hey, this is Stewardship Sunday. What is Pastor Paul doing talking about a stone tablet? Well, here's why I'm talking about this stone tablet. Because you know what the stone tablet talks about? It talks about Solomon's temple. And if it's real, it might be the only artifact that exists from Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. This magnificent building constructed 3,000 years ago, where the people of Israel came to worship the Lord. It was not a big building. It was only about 90 feet long. But it was divided into three rooms, and the inner two rooms were, the walls were covered with gold. We're not doing that around here, just so you know. And on the innermost room called the Holy of Holies, that is where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And this building is very important to the story of this guy you heard about in the lesson today, King Jehoash. When his father died, was murdered, his grandmother decided she wanted to rule the nation. So she had Jehoash's entire family killed. She murdered her own family. But the priest, Jehoiada, stole away the baby Jehoash and hid him in the temple for 7 years. For 7 years he was in hiding. When the moment was finally right, the priest Jehoiada brought the young king into public. He announced that he was still alive. Grandma was arrested and did not come to a good end. And we're told in the Bible that for 40 years King Jehoash ruled, and he was one of the really good kings in ancient Israel. Now here's where it all comes to stewardship. This tablet is about Solomon's temple. When King Jehoash took reign, the temple of Solomon was 100 years old. And after 100 years, it needed a little work, just like the U.S. Capitol, the Capitol domes, undergoing another major renovation. The last one was about 60 years ago, but it's in need of major work. You can imagine after 100 years, there are a few things that needed to be done around the building. Can you imagine what the furnace and the air conditioning was like in the ancient temple? Can you imagine what the ceiling tiles look like in the Holy of Holies? And King Jehoash said, we need to fix up the Lord's house. So he ordered the high priest to take all the money. This was in the days before there were actually coins, so people would give bits and pieces of silver and gold that would be weighed out. He ordered the priest to take all the money they had from all the offerings and taxes and repair the temple. You've seen Yul Brynner in Ten Commandments? He says, the Pharaoh says, let it be spoken, let it be done. Well, King Jehoash said that to his priest, let it be spoken, let it be done. And what happened? 23 years went by, and they didn't do anything. They kept collecting the money to repair the temple, They just never repaired the temple. Hint, never put a pastor in charge of a church building project, okay? You were really smart here. After 23 years, King Jehoash said, "That is enough. I'm taking over." And he ordered the priests not to collect any more money, that they were no longer in charge, and he began the work of repairing the temple. Money was collected, and when the money was there, he would pay the workmen, and they would begin the important work of fixing up Solomon's temple itself, that beautiful building, and making repairs to the huge complex that was built all around it on that hill in Jerusalem. It was a massive job, but King Jehoash said it needs to be done. And on this tablet, if it is authentic, this is what King Jehoash declares. He says that performing the work in good faith, I made repair of the temple. So thus endeth the Bible story and the history lesson. And let's talk about Grace Lutheran Church and our work here for this building which we call the Lord's House. Again, our church project, which begins, we hope, this week with groundbreaking, is nowhere near the scope of what King Jehoash did with the temple in Jerusalem. But it does involve a lot of money, as you all know, and it has also involved a lot of hard work, planning, toil, creativity, and sweat by a lot of people here at Grace Lutheran Church. I came across this wonderful quote from Frank Lloyd Wright, the noted architect. He said, "A building is not a place to be, but a way to be." And that's what we need to understand about our church home. This is a building, but it is a home. This is the house of the Lord, and this is also the house of God's people. This house we just celebrated was first created 50 years ago. That's what Grace Lutheran Church looked like 50 years ago, that tiny little building which is our current fellowship hall. This is what the worship center looked like in 1965. People worshiping on metal chairs, sitting on those lovely asbestos-filled tiles. Well, time has gone by. This was last Christmas. And this is where we worship now. Our church has grown in many ways. We've been through a number of building projects, all done to accommodate our growth and our needs. Because we like to say some things about our church, and I think they are true. We are a family-friendly church. One of the great things about Grace is we have lots of families and lots of kids. We, as you've heard many times, we have noisy worship services. But who would want a quiet worship service because there are no children there? We promote that ours is a church that is open and welcoming to people of all age. We attract a lot of families, but everyone is welcome here. Our church is a place where God's word is preached and God's word is taught. Ours is a home, a church home, where kids can grow up, where they can grow to maturity, and they can learn to serve the Lord. When Lisa was cleaning out the offices this week, she came across a CD that had old pictures. Pictures from our high school youth group back in 2005 and 2006. Here's one of those pictures. Now, most of these kids, they're all in their mid to late 20s now. Many of them have moved away. Some are married. A few have kids. But some of them are still here, and I'd like to talk about a few of them who are still here. If I can get my little dot to work here. My little red dot's not working here. Up here in that corner. Melinda Beloyne, she's still here. She teaches Sunday school. In the middle in the stripes, that's Jessica Corison. She teaches our 7th and 8th grade class, and she is also working with our JYG. And next to her is a delightful girl named Hannah Bolgren, who teaches music at Vacation Bible School. And up in the left corner is a young couple, Chris and Katie Eipert, who back in 2005, 2006 were a young couple at church with no kids who said, "We'll help out with the high school kids." Now they have three children. Katie is on the church council. Her husband is on the vision planning team. This is a place where people grow and mature in faith. This is a place where there is Christian fellowship, where we get to know one another, care for one another, support one another. That is an important thing. This is a church home where people work to serve others. These quilts, they're made in the room right next to us. On Tuesday afternoons, as a loving group of volunteers come together, This is the place where a couple of weeks ago we gathered to worship, to eat, and then head out to work in the communities and God's work our hands. We know that our church home is a place that has a welcome mat out for our community. It's not just a place for us. For nearly 30 years, the Adult Literacy Center has served to help people learn English as a second language. They will have their own area in our new church. One of our new goals for our church is Family Promise, which is a program where homeless families stay at a series of churches. We will be housing homeless families for 4 weeks during the year. Some people, do you really want to do that? Well, you know what? Yes, we want to do that. Because do you like to welcome people into your home? Well, we want to welcome people into our home. We need to remember that Jesus says in Matthew 25, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. We now have Girl Scouts who meet on Thursday evenings. We have to close the doors before worship because they make a little bit of noise. And we're also working to have a Narcotics Anonymous group come and use our church home as a home for them to help others. We have a building, but as we know, we've outgrown our building and it doesn't serve our needs as well as it once did. So we need to do something about it. Remember when the Bradley Center was built in 1988? State of the art, top of the line, couldn't ask for anything more. And now what? Bucks need a new stadium or we'll lose the franchise. There's a place up in Green Bay called Lambeau Field. That's what it looked like back when it was first built. It doesn't look like that anymore, does it? Because Packers have kind of grown in popularity. This is Lambeau Field today after how many renovation projects? And imagine all those umpteen hundreds of millions of dollars spent on a building that is used, if we're lucky, 12 days a year. And for those of you who own your Packers stock certificates, those wonderful stock certificates, which basically is you giving the Packers free money because you get something to frame on the wall, I bet almost every Packer fan thinks this has all been worthwhile. At Grace, we have asked ourselves again and again, why are we doing this? Well, we have good reasons why we are doing this. We've been talking about this since 2006. It's well planned out. We as a congregation have said we're committed to it. We believe it will be worth the effort. And like King Jehoash, I pray we will all say that we are performing this work in good faith, and we are making the repairs and the expansions that are needed to God's house. Last week you heard us say in our sermon when Aim Ruth, Pastor Heidi and I were talking, the words of Jesus from today's gospel, that we are called to build our lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because we are the people of Jesus Christ. Remember that little kids thing? I can't do it anymore because my fingers don't work anymore. But here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, and what do you see? All the people. This is the place where we pray, we see all the people. We do this work. We make this commitment because we are the house of the Lord and we love the Lord and we love people. You may have heard this wonderful saying, the church has left the building. Because the church is not a building. The Greek word for church literally means those who are called out of the world to serve the Lord. But our mission, we know, is in the world. That's why we do God's work our hands. That's why we're so involved in the community. That's why Meg is down back in Nicaragua. And so if we're out in the world, why should we spend all this money on this building? Well, here's why. Because this building, like Solomon's Temple, is very important to what we do. This is where God's people meet. This is where we worship the Lord. This is where God's word is proclaimed and taught. This is where we strengthen relationships. This is an entry point for those who were looking for God in their lives. And this is a place where we, the people of God at Grace Lutheran Church, we welcome our community to come and to live and to serve with us. You've heard many times in the last few years that our church needs lots and lots of repairs, hundreds of thousands of dollars in repairs, even if we don't lay one new brick for construction. We also know that we have outgrown what we have had. Whenever we do that, we take the steps to do something new. And now, with our stewardship upon us, we talk about our commitments to make sure that we pay for this. This work, as we all know, is going to take a lot of money. This building is $2.6 million. You've heard that it will require a minimum next year of at least $66,000 in additional giving to do this work, to pay for this place, as well as all the other ministries that go on. So where does it come from? Well, King Jehoash had a little advantage. He could tax people. As well as the voluntary offerings, he could tax people for that. I don't think we can do that here. So, it will all come from you and from me. It comes from our offerings, our generous gifts to the Lord's work. Many of you have been involved in this, in our Grow in Grace campaign over the last year and a half. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a member come and pledge another big gift to Grow in Grace that's put us over the $1 million mark for this campaign. That's wonderful. This takes generous givers who know the joy of giving. And it is my prayer that we all know that joy. I'm going to talk about that next week. We know this is a challenge. It's a big challenge. But I believe we also know that we are up to this challenge. Working together, we can and will do this. King Jehoash was very proud of what he had done. And if this is a real ancient artifact, we need to know that for centuries this stood in the temple in Jerusalem as King Jehoash proclaimed to everyone long after his death what he had done for the Lord's house. There's going to be no stone inscription in our new building declaring that for us. But what we are doing will be written in our hearts, it will be written in our lives, and we pray it will be written in the lives of all those who are touched by the disciples of Jesus Christ who call this place home, and who want to share the love of Jesus Christ with one another. So more of this next week. But let's celebrate what God has given us. Let's celebrate the challenges before us. And let's celebrate this blessing that will be this project to give us this new expanded church home to help us and to serve others. In Christ's name. Amen.